Hello from London. We begin our program today with another Toy Town play by S.G. Hume Beaman. Golf, Toy Town rules.
Arkfield train stopped at Toy Town Station. A porter stood upon the platform awaiting the arrival, and near the gate where tickets are collected was Larry the Lamb leaning against the fence, chewing a straw.
Toy Town! Toy Town! All change!
Many people got out of the train, but from the window of a first-class compartment, Mr. Grouser shook his umbrella at the porter.
This is disgraceful! Change what, fellow? Change what?
Change trains, that's what. Because this train don't go no further.
You aware, fellow, that my ticket entitles me to travel as far as the Ark station?
I don't know nothing about that. All I know is you've got to get out, unless you want to be took back to Arkfield.
This is an outrage.
Please, Mr. Grouser, sir, would you like me to carry your bag?
Carry my bag, Lamb? Where to? Oh,
Mr. Grouser, sir, if you will give me a penny, I will carry it to the other train. You see, you have to get out of this train and get into another, because this one doesn't go any further.
Then why didn't that numbskull of a porter say so, instead of shouting at me in an offensive manner? As regards the bargain you propose in connection with my bag, I consider the fee to be excessive.
Well, it does seem a lot, Mr. Grouser, but if you have two bags full, I will carry them both for 3 halfpence. I can't say fairer than that. Well, but you ought to decide quickly, because the train's just going.
Stand away, please! Stand away from the doors!
Hey, stop! This is disgraceful! Let me get out of here! Oh, gracious!
Oh, Mr. Grouser, sir, you only just got out in time, didn't you?
Oh, things is a scandal. To deliberately start the train when one of the oldest and most respectable citizens of Toy Town is about to alight. Now, where is this other train?
Well, I don't expect it to be here yet, Mr. Grouser. I expect it to be along about tea time.
Tea time?
But Dennis and I have a little cart outside the station for people who don't wish to wait. And we should be very pleased to take you to the Ark with your bag for 2 pence. So, with the penny you're going to give me for carrying your bag, that will be 3 pence altogether.
I thought so. A trick! I have no doubt that you and your fellow brigand have been bribing the railway company to force passengers to alight here in order that you may enrich yourselves.
Oh, no, Mr. Grouser, sir, because we don't know who the railway company is. But Dennis and I have a little business arrangement with the driver of the Arkville train, and he never comes into this station until he sees our little cart has gone. Come this way, please. Outside the station entrance stood a little cart painted green. A grey horse with large black spots was harnessed to it, and perched in the driver's seat was Dennis the Dachshund.
Oh, Dennis, I've got a passenger.
Ah, the excellent Herr Grouser. To drive a passenger so distinguished, a great honor will be. Into our trap, kindly climb.
Well, I have no alternative but to comply. Any higher? Hey, hand me up that bag. All right, get in, Lamb, get in.
It's all right, Dennis. Mr. Grouser's in. You can let her go. Dennis is an awfully good driver, Mr. Grouser, sir, so you needn't feel alarmed, but you had better hold tight.
Scandalous if a wheel should ever happen to come off. Nothing can save us from being precipitated into a ditch. You hound, not so fast.
Oh, it's no use shouting at Dennis, sir. He can't hear you. You see, he always drives with his ears tucked in so that they don't flap about in the wind. Oh, Mr. Grouser, sir. You've forgotten your clubs.
Clubs? What clubs?
Oh, please, sir, all the people who go to the Ark take clubs with them, but you'll see in a minute, because we are there. And as Larry spoke, the trap reached the top of a rise, and Mr. Grouser caught sight of the Ark. In front of it, there was a stretch of ground on which several people were moving about. The trap reached the bottom of the hill, crashed through a hedge, and leapt a ditch. Both wheels came off, and Larry and Mr. Grouser were shot out like stones from a catapult. Landing in the middle of a group consisting of the mayor, Captain Higgins, and Ernest, the policeman.
Well, I never...
Mr. Grouser pulled off his top hat, which had jammed down over his eyes, and looked at the citizens before him. Captain Higgins wore a pair of short, extremely baggy trousers and check stockings, and carried behind him a long leather bag from which projected some sticks of curious shape. The mayor also wore check stockings and trousers even baggier than those of Captain Higgins, but above these he had on his usual long skirted coat and his cocked hat. His gold chain was wound round his waist, and he carried in his hands one of the curious-looking sticks. Ernest the policeman was in uniform.
Your ear, what's all this? You oughtn't to come tumbling onto the green in that rough way, Mr. Grouser, sir. You've been and put the mayor off his stroke.
Yeah. Just when he was going to address the bone.
Somebody ought to be ashamed. I am tricked into riding in a horrible rickety conveyance, shot out in a most undignified manner, and now I find the mayor of Toytown dressed up in funny trousers, fiddling with a stick and talking to a ball.
His worship was not talking to a ball, Mr. Grouser, sir. He was addressing it.
What?
About to hit it, that is.
Well, then the more shame to him. What would his fellow citizens think if they knew the mayor of Toytown left his duties to play ball?
You forget yourself, Mr. Grouser. I am not playing ball.
Huh?
I am playing golf. Golf, a most remarkable game.
A very gentlemanly game, I should call it. I never heard nobody speak disrespectful of golf before.
He can call it what he likes. The low animals of Toytown go about the streets hitting a ball with a stick. But they call it rounders.
Rounders, Mr. Grouser? I hope you're not suggesting that the mayor of Toytown would play rounders. A most undignified game, whereas golf is a game in which no gentleman need be ashamed to indulge.
It seems to me this here old gent don't know nothing about golf. Seems funny, but I don't believe he do.
I don't, sir, and I am proud of it.
Shame.
Such a state of affairs clearly cannot be allowed to continue. It is our duty, Captain Higgins, to enlighten Mr. Grouser on the subject of this noble game.
All right.
The game of golf, Mr. Grouser, is played with instruments called clubs.
Yes, here, half a minute. These here are clubs, what I got in this here bag. Now, this here is a driver, and this here is a niblet.
Captain Higgins, please show Mr. Grouser a mashie as well, because that's so awfully useful for killing slugs.
Yeah, quite, my lady. The purpose of the game, Mr. Grouser, is to strike this small ball in such a manner that it falls into each of a series of holes arranged round the course.
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, sir, like that game at the Arkville Fair, when the ball rolls into a hole, the bell rings, and then you get a bag of nuts.
No, nothing of the sort, my lamb. No respectable golfer will expect a bag of nuts every time he holds out.
Ah, but it's a good idea, your worship. It'd make the game more exciting.
Nuts or a cigar, I'm partial to a nice cigar, myself.
The object of each player is to hold the ball in the fewest number of strokes.
Then am I right, your worship, in supposing that the player who wins the greatest number of holes wins the game?
Roughly speaking, you are, officer.
Yes, roughly speaking.
Well, Mr. Grouser, sir, do you think you could play golf?
Think, lamb, think. I should feel ashamed to admit that I was unable to excel at such a trivial pastime.
Then how about a little match, gentle, between Mr. Grouser and his worship? I always was partial to a bit of sports.
And for my part, I should be delighted to indulge in a friendly game with Mr. Grouser.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, sir, and Mr. Grouser, sir, and Dennis and I will be caddies and carry your clubs, because now our little cart's broken. Well, we have nothing to do.
As a matter of business, to carry the clubs, most happy we should be.
Thank you. Well, if this challenge is intended as a taunt, let me tell you that I consider it my duty as a public-spirited citizen to demonstrate that no skill whatever is required to excel at this preposterous pastime.
We shall see.
I will certainly play a game or a round or a match or whatever you call it with the mayor.
And it wouldn't be a bad idea if the loser bought a new cart for these two young animals.
Oh, Mr. Ernest, a new cart would make it much more exciting.
I am prepared to agree.
And I also. Let us meet here on Tuesday afternoon, immediately after lunch, Mr. Grouser. As no doubt you would care to engage in a little practice, perhaps Captain Higgins would feel disposed to lend you his clubs.
Somewhat reluctantly, Captain Higgins passed the bag of clubs to Mr. Grouser, who examined them with care. Then he drew from a pocket in the bag a number of golf balls, which he arranged in a row upon the grass. After that, he removed his frock coat, folded it, deposited it on the ground, placed his top hat beside it, and took one of the clubs. Larry and Dennis sat down to watch. Late that same evening, Larry the Lamb entered Gollywog Lane carrying with some difficulty Captain Higgins' long leather bag which had once contained golf clubs. It now contained a set of broken sticks and a tangle of string which had unwound from them. Tied to the handle of the bag was a neat little parcel of newspaper in which were wrapped the heads of the broken clubs. Larry knocked timidly at the door of Captain Higgins' house. And when it was opened by that gentleman...
Yes?
Handed in the bag.
Captain Higgins, sir, Mr. Grouser sends his compliments and thanks you for the loan of your clubs.
Yeah, what do you call this? These ain't the clubs I'll lend to Mr. Grouser. Looks to me more like a bundle of firewoods.
Oh, yes, Captain Higgins, sir, you'll see they are your clubs if you look carefully. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Grouser is much obliged for the loan. It's a lovely evening, isn't it?
Yeah, you come back.
Larry turned and ran down Gollywog Lane as hard as he could, leaving Captain Higgins untying the little newspaper parcel. And as Larry reached the corner, a loud cry of distress warned him that the parcel was undone. But Larry did not look round. He turned into a dark doorway where Dennis was awaiting him.
Have you the clubs of the excellent Captain Higgins returned?
Yes, Dennis, I have, and Captain Higgins made a very funny noise when he opened the parcel.
Never mind, Larry, my friend. Remember the penny which Mr. Grouser to us presented for this small service?
I know that he gave you a penny, Dennis, and you said that you would return the clubs, and then you get me to do it. I don't think it's fair to make me do all the dirty work just because I'm a little lamb. I ought to have the penny.
Listen, Larry, my friend, for an idea I have most excellent... On Tuesday will the match be played. You for the mayor as caddy will act, while I for Herr Grouser a similar office will perform. If the mayor wins the match, you shall have the penny. But if Herr Grouser wins, I the reward will retain. It is so, perhaps, was it?
Well, all right, dearest. I don't mind agreeing to that, but I shall do my utmost to make my player win. I shall stop at nothing.
It is agreed, Larry, my friend. Either side work of the very dirtiest description may perform.
Well, all right, Dennis, I've warned you. You'll see what dreadful things a lamb can do. Good night.
Good night, Larry, my friend.
The two animals parted, and Larry sat down on a curb and thought hard. Then he rose and ran to the house of the inventor. The inventor listened carefully to Larry's story of the forthcoming match.
You see, Mr. Inventor, sir, it's most necessary for the mayor to win this game, because if he doesn't, he'll feel awfully ashamed, and I shall lose a penny. So do you think you could help?
Well, of course, my lamb. There are several ways in which the success of the mayor could be assured. For one thing, a small keg of gunpowder could be exploded just before each occasion on which Mr. Grouser addressed the ball. That would probably put him off his stroke. Yes, but on the whole, I'm inclined to invent a special golf ball for the use of our mare, so that it will roll into a hole by itself. Something on the lines of a clockwork mouse.
Oh, yes, Mr. Inventor, that would be awfully useful. But Mr. Grouser might see me winding it up, and he'd say it wasn't fair.
Yes, well, of course, it might be considered to conflict with the rules of golf. And never having played golf, I can't say.
Well, I don't think we need trouble about rules, Mr. Inventor, sir, because we don't know what dreadful things Dennis may do to make his player win. And I warned Dennis that I should do my worst.
While this conversation was going on, Dennis the Dachshund sat in the magician's study explaining the situation.
Therefore, Herr Magician, I request you most earnestly your well-known magic arts at the disposal of Herr Grouser to place.
I'll be perfectly prepared to assist to that extent, but we must consider whether to concentrate my magic upon making the mayor lose or Mr. Grouser win. In effect, the result will be the same, but when one is practicing magic spells, one can't be too careful.
Dennis and the magician sat on each side of the large fireplace. The magician slowly stirred a magic potion in an iron pot suspended over the fire. And he and Dennis thought hard. On Tuesday, a large crowd collected upon the golf links near the Ark. Soon after midday, the mayor arrived in the state coach, accompanied by Larry, Captain Higgins, and the inventor, while Mr. Grouser appeared in the company of Dennis and the magician. Ernest the policeman was already upon the ground, having arrived early in order to keep the course clear.
I must confess, Mr. Grouser, that I'm not at all sure whether I'm acting fairly in playing this match with you. As a skilled player, I feel strongly that I'm taking an unfair advantage.
Oh, yes, Mr. Grouser, my little conscience has been troubling me too, so if you would like to pay for the cart and retire from the game, well, we shall quite understand, shan't we, Mr. Mayor, sir?
Quite, quite.
Retire from the game? I wonder you, Mr. Mayor, care to stand there in those preposterous trousers and put forward such a proposal. I shall play this game, sir, to the very last hole.
Here I am. What I say is, when you're playing a game, always act sportsmanlike. Not forgetting to make good any damage what's done to people's property, as you might say. What I mean, when a gent lends another gent a set of clubs, and he's crushed them.
Quite, Captain Higgins. Very well, then, Mr. Grouser. Perhaps you will drive off first. In case you are not aware of it, I may say that it is customary to arrange a little hillock of sand upon which to place the ball.
I am perfectly aware of it. But I have brought my own sand, sir.
Your own sand? Well, really.
Dennis the Dachshund stepped forward with a large square biscuit tin full of sand of a curious colour. He ladled out a small quantity and with his paws carefully modelled a small mound upon which he placed a golf ball. Mr. Grouser approached, took careful aim, and swinging his club several times round his head, brought it down with a loud smack. The heap of sand exploded in a burst of red fire. And the ball disappeared.
Well, I never.
An exceedingly good stroke. But where is the ball?
Where do you expect it to be, sir? To hear you talk, anyone might suppose that I was incapable of knocking a ball into a hole in the ground.
The party moved towards the first hole. But Dennis had run on ahead and was already halfway down the hole, his back legs sticking up in the air. Presently he wriggled out, gripping a golf ball in his mouth.
Well, I never...
An extremely good shot, Mr. Grouser, most praiseworthy. I will now demonstrate my skill. Now, kindly stand clear, everyone, in case I hit you.
The mayor, with Larry and the inventor, returned to the teeing ground. Larry arranged a heap of sand, and the inventor placed upon it a golf ball. The mayor raised his club and gave the ball a gentle tap. The ball did not disappear as Mr. Grouser's had done, but ran gently along the ground. carefully avoiding hillocks and tufts of grass. At one point, the ball nearly stopped, and the spectators held their breath, but it started again with a jerk. And finally, rolled into the hole.
You will observe, gentlemen, that the game of golf presents no difficulty to a skilled player.
Now, that's what I call a pretty shot. As soon as the mayor addressed the ball, I says to myself, "Higgins," I says, "this is going to be a pretty shot." And it was. You're funny, ain't it?
Well, speaking for myself, I consider it to be an extraordinary piece of luck. It's now my turn again, I believe.
Dennis again arranged a mound of sand and placed the ball on it. Mr. Grouse retreated several yards, pointed his club at the ball, galloped forward, and hit it a resounding thwack. Again came the burst of red fire, followed by the disappearance of the ball.
Well, now where's it gone to, I wonder?
On this occasion, I am inclined to think that we shall find the ball reposing in that bunker.
They all moved forward to the bunker and commenced a search. But Dennis hurried on to the second hole, dived into it, and emerged a ball between his teeth.
Well, I never did. If Mr. Grouser hasn't been and gone and done it again.
Naturally.
This is extraordinary.
Well, if you please, Mr. Mercer, I think it's rather suspicious, don't you?
Suspicious? As an officer of the law, I consider it my duty to examine that all. Why? I can see another ball in there.
So can I, officer. Eh? This is most extraordinary. Mr. Grouser plays one ball and two appear in the hole.
Well, is that the most excellent player the Herr Grouser was? That proves, perhaps, was it?
Seems a bit funny to me.
Well, I confess I do not understand. However, I will now proceed to play my own ball.
The mayor returned to the teeing ground with Larry and the inventor while the others sat down near the second hole to watch. They saw the mayor and his two companions whispering together. Larry stooped and arranged the ball, and the mayor tapped it with his club as before. Once again, the ball went round bushes, up and down hillocks, and twisted in and out between clusters of grass, while Larry walked beside it, uttering encouraging bars. And at last, the ball reached the second green, moved jerkily across it, and dropped into the hole.
We are still even, Mr. Grouser, I think.
Correct, sir.
Each side was now becoming definitely suspicious of the other, but the game continued. Mr. Grouser contrived to hit his ball out of sight on every occasion, and it was always discovered in the next hole. It was not always alone, however. Once it was accompanied by two white mice and a guinea pig. The mayor's ball always rolled into the hole, though on one occasion it returned all the way to the previous green and then came back in a series of sharp jerks before doing so. At last, the 18th green was reached.
Well, Mr. Grouser, we are still even, and our respective fortunes will now be put to the final test. Regarding your methods of play, I prefer to express no opinion, but will you drive off again?
Certainly, sir.
Herr Magician, a thing most terrible has occurred. No more sand in the tin remains.
No more sand, no lackaday. And I've left my little book of spells in my other coat. Oh, misery me. So Mr. Grouser must rely on his own skill now.
Dennis scooped up some sand from the ground and arranged the ball. Mr. Grouser struck it as before. It rolled away into a dense mass of bushes, but without the usual burst of red fire. And although everyone searched for some time, Mr. Grouser's golf ball was never seen again. The mayor, with a smile of triumph, turned to his own ball. Larry, uttering a joyful placed the ball ready. The mayor drove. Then everyone gasped with surprise, for instead of rolling forward, The ball, after it was struck, began to bounce up and down, up and down.
This is disgraceful. I insist upon examining that ball.
This wants looking into, Your Worship. Catch that ball, somebody.
I'll use my hat.
It's quite all right, officer, I assure you. Hmm? That's just a golf ball of my own invention. It works on the principle of a torpedo. But now something seems to have gone wrong.
Disgraceful. Hmm? It ought never to have been allowed.
Well, I assure you, Mr. Grouser and gentlemen, that I was absolutely unaware of this.
Mr. Mayor, sir, and Mr. Grouser, sir, I must own up. I did it with Mr. Inventor because I did so want you to win.
Oh, well, I am surprised, my lamb, most surprised at you. And at you too, Mr. Inventor. Mr. Grouser?
Sir?
As mayor of Toytown, it is clearly my duty for me to retire from this unfortunate match. You are the winner, sir. You are the winner.
Thank you.
And I shall pay for the kiddies' cart, caddies' cart.
Disgraceful! I should never have expected such scandalous trickery.
Shocking, shocking.
Not the unreliable things, Lamb.
They all began to move towards the railway station. Then Larry, who had been hovering some distance away, ran up to Mr. Grouser, tugged at his arm, and drew him aside. They began to whisper, and Mr. Grouser's face gradually assumed an expression of dismay. Then he looked guiltily round, put his hand in his pocket, and gave something to Larry. The lamb uttered a joyful, left Mr. Grouser and hurried after his friend Dennis.
Ach, Larry, my friend, extremely sorry I feel for the showing up, most unfortunate of the mayor. To retain that penny, I must, of course, now, perhaps.
Oh, yes, Dennis, please do. I don't mind at all now, because I knew all the time that Mr. Grouser was being helped by magic, and I just told him so. But I've arranged for Mr. Grouser not to tell anyone, and look what he gave me. And Larry opened his front hooves, which had been holding tightly together, and disclosed
2 half-crowns.
See?
That was Golf, Toytown Rules, a Toytown play by S.G. Hume Beeman. Larry the Lamb was played by Derek McCulloch, who's also the narrator. Mr. Grouser by John Glyn Jones. Ernest the Policeman by Peter Claughton. Captain Higgins and the Magician by Norman Shelley. The Mayor of Toytown by Felix Felton. Dennis the Dachshund by Preston Lockwood. And The Inventor and the Porter by Ivan Sampson. The program, which was recorded, was produced by Claire Choville. It was the last in the present series of Toytown Plays. Thank you.